On the night of August 24th, 1814, British soldiers, I can say that, marched on Washington, D.C. and set fire to most of the city. Dolly Madison, the first lady at the time, she famously saved a portrait of George Washington and also a copy of the Declaration of Independence before she fled to nearby Georgetown. The British, they didn't stay long, though. Their occupation lasted only 26 hours. So what happened? The day of the invasion had been a hot 100 degrees, kind of like how Atlanta's been this past week. With much of the city aflame the next day, British soldiers kept moving through, lighting more fires. They didn't notice the darkening skies, the thunder and the lightning that was starting to take place. City residents knew that a bad storm was coming, and they quickly took shelter. The British, though, had no idea just how bad a DC storm could get. The clouds began to swirl, the winds kicked up, and a tornado ended up forming and started heading to Capitol Hill where the British were. The twister ripped buildings from their foundations and trees up by the roots. British cannons were tossed around by the winds, and several British troops were killed by falling structures and flying debris. The rain continued for 2 hours, dousing the flames, and the British decided it was time to leave. Local meteorologists later wrote in their book called Washington Weather, quote, "As the British troops were preparing to leave, a conversation was noted between the British admiral and a Washington lady regarding the storm. The admiral exclaimed, 'Is this the kind of storm to which you are accustomed to in this infernal country?' The lady answered, 'No, sir, this is a special interposition of Providence to drive our enemies from our city.'" A British historian later wrote, "More British soldiers were killed by this stroke of nature than from all the firearms the American troops had mustered." The interesting thing about this story is that 1 year earlier, on July 23rd, 1813, this was a year into the war with Great Britain, President Madison issued a day of prayer throughout the country. In this proclamation, he urged everyone to repent, and he asked every citizen to thank God for blessing our nation. This tornado later became known as the tornado that saved Washington. And I learned from speaking with Brent actually before the service that the tornado spun out from a hurricane that happened. I didn't know that. I learned about this story from the National Day of Prayer website, where they list this and many other stories from the late 1600s to the present day, where presidents and different leaders of our country would proclaim days of fasting and prayer. It's amazing to read the different accounts and proclamations that our forefathers made, and how they consistently humbled themselves before God and asked for his protection. They knew how powerful praying is, and today I'd like to talk about this incredible power that we're all able to participate in. I'd like to discuss the formula for prayers that yield results. Then we'll dive into the Bible to test this formula, and we'll end with some ideas on who and what we should be praying for. Let's start with the formula or equation I have. I know a lot of us already know what this is, and hopefully it's a good reminder, but I'm also talking to a lot of the young people in this room. If you can remember this formula and truly apply it to your life, you will see amazing things happen. So here it is, and write it down if you take notes. It's three things: repentance plus righteousness plus persistent prayer equals results. I'll say it again: repentance plus righteousness plus persistent prayer equals results. If you want to perfect a skill in life, it's good to look at how the pros do it, and we need to practice their method. So let's dive into scripture and prove this formula. And in the interest of time, I'll reference a few scriptures that we don't need to turn to, but I recommend writing them down and studying them later. And then I'll have us go to a few together. So let's start by focusing on the first part of the equation, which is repentance. And let's turn to Daniel, in Daniel 9 and verse 3. Daniel 9 and verse 3, and I believe Dr. Oss brought this point up in a previous message, but I want to cover it again. Daniel 9 verse 3 says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments." And he goes on to pour out his heart here and repent. This is a beautiful prayer that we should all look to as an example. And before we go asking God for anything, we should always humble ourselves and repent first. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." The NIV translation says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." We can't sin and expect God to hear us if we don't come to him with a repentant heart. As Jesus puts it in the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is a crucial part of prayer. Now let's move on to the second part of the formula, which is righteousness. And this is explained well in James 5, verse 16. Let's turn there together, James 5, verse 16. I hear like one Bible turning, so hopefully everyone's listening digitally. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Or as the NIV translation says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Then he goes on to say in verse 17, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." It's amazing to see here what the prayer of a righteous person can do. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." So we need to strive for righteousness, which means following all of God's commandments. And when we stumble, we need to repent. Now let's focus on the third part, which is persistence. In Luke 18, where Jesus tells the parable of the persistent widow, says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. It's an awesome short little parable that Jesus uses to show if an unjust judge will avenge a widow because of her persistence, how much more will God avenge his own people who cry out day and night? So we have to be persistent. We have to keep praying for your family and your friends. Keep praying that God will use you for your kingdom. Keep praying that the things that tempt you, God will remove from your life. Keep praying that the enemy will be removed from your household. Keep praying that the Holy Spirit will work in your children, your families. Keep praying that the medicine that maybe didn't work the first time starts to kick in and starts working. We have to keep praying. This is how we fight in the spiritual war that we're in. Now, I want to add a little disclaimer here to the formula, because no matter how much we repent or how righteous or persistent we are, we can't have our prayers answered if they go against God's will. Remember in Mark 14, verse 36, when Jesus is praying in the garden and he says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me." You know, in this brief moment, Jesus is asking, he's saying, is there any way we can possibly do this another way? You can do anything, God. Are there any other options? But he knows that he has to be the sacrifice. And he ends his prayer saying, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Even our perfect Savior, who knows this formula inside and out, could not pray against God's will. So we always have to go back and remember the model prayer in Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done. Another example of this is in Matthew 8, verse 2, when a leper approached Jesus. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then what happened? In verse 3, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. In 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So now that we know the formula and we ask for God's will to be done in everything, I want to end with a few quick tips and ideas on who we can pray for. Start your day by spending time with your Father in heaven. Get up a few minutes earlier than you normally do. Get on your knees and talk to him. Some days I struggle with this, and I rush out the door and I don't do it. And you know, those days are filled with anxiety and not a lot of things go right. Next time you're on social media, which for many of us is pretty much all the time, if you see someone requesting prayers, take the moment, even if you don't know them, pray for them. You might be drastically altering their life and you don't even know it. The next time you hear an ambulance or a fire truck go by, pray for the people who that fire truck is going to. Pray for the first responders who are putting their lives on the line. Pray for the children across the world who are held captive against their will or have a terrible sickness. Pray for their families to have hope and strength and wisdom. Pray for the people in prison that they can be led to God and change their life. Pray for the leaders of our country, our state, and our cities. If anyone saw the debate, we know they need prayers. Pray for the leaders of our church. Pray for one another that we don't lose heart in these last days, these dark days. I hope we can all take our prayers to the next level, and I hope you all have a wonderful Sabbath.